Welcome to In Moderation,
the show where we give you a moderate dose of info, sarcasm, and we already know we're not approved.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the podcast. What do we do? What podcast were we at? In Moderation, I remember. And I do, what I don't remember, though, is what episode this is. Rob, what episode are we on?
Well, we happen to be on lucky number 13, and it's lucky because we have Dr. Terry Simpson here with us.
Yeah, Dr. Terry, how you doing?
Good. How are you? What are you doing?
I was thinking we were on episode 11, so I'm glad I asked Rob. See, this is why I have him with me. I'm the funny guy. He's the guy that knows everything.
And I'm neither of those things, so we have it works out well.
Listen, you have your own subs. You know, you have your own sect of knowledge that we are going to bring you on, and we're going to learn a lot of things. I'm going to learn a lot of things. The viewers, the listeners. We're not viewers yet. We don't have our.
We are starting to get viewers on YouTube now.
We are viewers and listeners, both of those. We're all going to learn a lot of things from Dr. Terry here.
And if I don't know it, I'll make it up.
Well, that you'll fit right in.
You'll fit so well here. You'll fit well on TikTok. You'll fit in well on any social media. That's perfect.
So I have discovered something being on social media, which it's not that I've discovered it. It just gets reinforced periodically. Usually when people come on and make some spurious claim.
Is this something about chiropractors?
Well, they're just sort of an annoying group, which I have fun with. But I mean, there are, you know, and periodically I'll get chiropractors on, please don't lump us all together. We're not like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, whatever. but I'll like today there was this person who was challenging pasteurized milk and how good it really is. Unpasteurized milk, raw milk.
Raw milk. Yes.
And they said, well, I get it from the Amish and everybody knows the Amish are healthy. And I said, really now? Tell me how you know that.
Yeah.
Well, like, she couldn't tell me how she knew it. She said, well, the midwives and healers and people around here. And it's like, okay, midwives and healers go around and tell you how healthy the Amish are. Well, the statistics actually show the Amish aren't that healthy. They have a shorter lifespan than the most of the people do. More infectious disease. They've had more outbreaks from unpasteurized milk. And a number of states, and I don't know what states you're in, have actually made it so that the Amish must sell pasteurized milk to everybody else. So you're probably not getting raw milk. And she went off and said, you have your opinion and I have mine. And it's like, okay.
But how many Amish do you see in the hospital? I have never seen an Amish hospital. I think, Derek to Terry, they call that check and mate. So since I've never seen them there, that means they're not sick.
Well, I actually lived near an Amish community, one of the hospitals I used to work in.
Oh, really?
And there were a number in there. And they were always very nice. You know, you'd go in the lunchroom and you'd see them all kind of decked out like a 1920 Sears catalog. And, you know.
That's great.
They probably looked at the hospital food because they have much better food at home and said, no wonder we're all sick.
I'm sure they're looking at us like, oh, these dumb Americans.
Listen, mister, I'll show you how to make a beard. Look at Rob.
I can only grow a neck beard. I would be such a good Amish. I'd be a good Amish. We're just all straight down the neck beard. I get the hat all black. I'd, you know, get Jebediah. We'd raise some farms. No, barns.
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 Yeah.
And you could drink unpasteurized milk.
That might be the only thing I don't do. Knowing what I know, that might be the one thing.
What do you believe in science? And this is what I also like. So I put in a figure about, you know, the last 3 or 4 years, 98 people have died. They said only 98 people, more have died from alcoholism. I said, so you don't understand history that like in 1 year in New York City, 8,000 kids died from unpasteurized milk, or that it was a major, it decreased infant mortality in half. Well, infants shouldn't be drinking cow's milk. Well, that's just not the point, is it? Because back then
That's just moving the goalpost.
Yeah, they always do.
That is, yeah.
So anyway, this very good friend of mine used to, he always gives me the statistics. He says, 4/5 of people don't know that 80% is 4/5. And
that's good.
I like that.
You know, one of my favorites is, what was it? So like, you know, the quarter pounder?
The third pounder, right?
The third pounder, yeah.
Why get a third pounder? Because it'll be less than a quarter pounder, because that's 1/4.
So if you don't know, Rob, McDonald's sold a quarter pounder. And so was it Burger King or one of the competitors was like, we'll sell a third pounder or something. And people thought that was less than the quarter pounder. So they didn't buy it. They're like, well, I want the quarter pounder. That's more
Another reason why Canada's ahead of us, because they use metric units. They probably use burgers in milliliters or something.
Milliliters, 800 milliliter burger. Oh, that's fantastic. I love it. I'll stick with my freedom units.
There you go.
You don't want a half kilo burger?
Half kilo. What is, I don't, is that a, that's, so no, a kilo is 2.2 pounds. No. Yes.
Something like that. Close. Yes. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I only know that because of weight.
That's
weights
a 1 pound frigging burger. You would be, your bowels would just, unless you became like,
yeah, the carnivore people, they could do it.
Yeah. Paul. He's, you know.
Oh, speaking of Paul, that was hilarious when he was talking about learning the root cause of things. And he literally went to your alma mater.
Yeah. That was fun. Yeah. Yeah, I remember like, that.
Wait a second. I used to teach. I taught one of your classes.
Were you? Yeah.
Did you even come to class? And then the other one that I like is there's some old film of Paul in front of some TV groups, and they said, "Where did you learn nutrition?" "Well, I learned it in medical school." I said, there's that, and then there's this other. We didn't learn nutrition in medical school. Like, Paul, which is
yeah.
it? Just
right.
I mean, I know you have problems with the truth, but we'd like to know what truth today to listen to.
Whichever one sells his supplements better, that's the truth we are right. going with. Is yeah. ground
it
up
really
testicle
is amazing
supplements.
How much money these guys make about with selling supplements. I will give you. I will give you one little insight that I found. So I called out somebody and got a lawyer letter saying, "Please cease and desist." And then I said, "You really want to go there? You really want to hire a lawyer and send me a cease and desist?" And I said, all you had to do is if you ask me nicely, I would be happy to, you know, take a thing down because if it hurts your feelings. But you really want to go with a lawyer. So, you know, it was Robert Love. You remember Robert Love?
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Right. He was called. He says, "I am a Dr. Robert Love. I'm a neuroscientist." And I pointed out that his doctorate actually came from a place where you can buy a doctorate for $499. And that's where it came from. And
that guy. OK, yeah. I'm with you now.
He sells lion's mane. So I said, so he actually came across and called me up and said, "All right, I really don't want to get into this, blah, blah, blah." And I said, "So how much your legal letter accused me of decreasing sales by $21,000 in 2 weeks?" He says, "Yeah, it was a bad couple of weeks." And I'm thinking, $21,000 of supplements in 2 weeks.
That's holy fantastic. Shit. Yeah. I can't imagine what, you know, like ancestral supplements, you know, with the Liver King and, right. you know, Paul Saldino.
He was getting, I think, $1 million a month, or that's the rumor.
Yeah.
Paul Saldino, 800,000 a year was one rumor. So, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
Sure I keep getting tagged in Robert Love's stuff, and I'm like, I know he just loves to send his lawyers after people because he can afford that. So I don't even want to touch it.
I don't blame you.
It's one of those things where it's sort of like, you know, there's medical misinformation and stuff. So it's easy to say lion's mane works great in rats. And if you want smart rats, you should give them lion's mane. We know nothing about what the supplement does in human beings. And the studies on human beings are not terribly good. And so I like mushrooms.
I was going to say, I like the lion's mane actual mushroom fried up in like a pan. It's pretty good.
We have here in California, because everything grows here, you know. So I was just up in Ojai at the farmer's market this morning. I love that little farmer's market because it's walkable. You know, I have some of these farmer's markets that are like the Grand Bazaar and they go on forever and ever and ever and sell funnel cakes. I don't have one of those. But they have this guy that sells all these mushrooms and they had a whole bunch of lion's mane mushrooms. It's not that. It's cheap.
Yeah, but I'm sure all the profit margin in the supplements has got to be massive for just putting in a little tiny pill.
Yeah, and he was telling me in his business model, he doesn't have to ship it himself. So there's some central company that slaps his label on it and ships it out. And it's like, holy cow. I mean, I keep trying, what can I legitimately sell? And it's like, well, at some point I thought about, I'd like to sell olive, because speaking of Mediterranean diet, as we're going to, I mean, I thought, wouldn't it be nice to have a nice brand of olive oil to sell people? But then I thought, do I want to own an olive farm? No.
Yeah, I figure since, yeah, we are, what, over 10 minutes into the episode here, we've been just ragging on supplement sales, which, don't get me wrong, I do that all day long, so I enjoy it. But since we have you here, we probably should give people some information that is a little useful to them. And fine. I feel like the Mediterranean diet's fine. A good place to start.
Sure.
So why don't we start with, I'd like to start with just like, what is the Mediterranean diet? Because I always hear this like, well, I live in the Mediterranean region and we don't eat that here. So it's not the Mediterranean diet. So like, what is the Mediterranean diet? You know,
that's so there's actually a very scientific definition for it. And the scientific definition has a group of food groups in it. And so the scientific definition is actually fairly simple, that you get, it's a 9-point scale,
okay,
of which you either get 0 or 1 on any given sect of fruit. So let's take fruits.
Okay.
If you eat 9 ounces a day, so that's like an apple and a handful of blueberries, you get a point. If you eat 8 ounces, you get 0 points. If you eat 13 ounces, you still get 1 point. So it's a simple binary scale. And the reason it was done that way was because of all of the studies that have been done, of which there are 13,000 in the last 10 years, you have to find out how close someone is to the Mediterranean diet. I'll give you an example. So when I used to do lots and lots of weight loss surgery, I would put my patients on a Mediterranean diet post-op, and I would follow them up. And those people who had 5 or more points on the Mediterranean diet at 5 years did far better at weight loss than those that did 0 to 3 points. 4 points was a scattergram. 0 to 3 points was less than the 50% mark, and it didn't matter which weight loss surgery they did. Lap band, gastric sleeve, bypass, didn't matter. If you did 5 or more points on the Mediterranean diet. So the 9 features of the Mediterranean diet are vegetables, is one category, 9 ounces. The other one is fruit and nuts and seeds, that all come, that's another 9 ounces. Whole grains is another 9 ounces. Whole grains is sort of problematic, but thankfully the Whole Grain Council gives you a better way of looking at it. If you look at the Whole Grain Council on like bread, and it says it's 100, 100 or 50% or whatever. So it's either 3 of those 100 stickers a day. So like my bowl of oatmeal in the morning would be 1 100 sticker. My 2 slices of bread would be the 2. So I'd get all that in just that. Hmm. So 9 ounces of whole grains. And again, I'm sorry for our Canadians here and the people who actually live in a world where they're measuring these in Kelvin units. But whole grains is another. Legumes, about 2 ounces a day. So those 9 ounces would all be about 100 grams a day.
That's legumes, not a lot. Two ounces of meats. No. Like that is, I'm just thinking, like that's like very
That's
little.
Nothing, but you know, the idea is fish is 2 ounces, but you can take those legumes and say, if you do 4 meals a day where your main protein source, or 4 meals a week where your main protein source of legumes, you can also get it. So, you know, that makes it easier. Just like if you eat 3 meals a week where fish is your main protein, you also get that point. Red meat's on there. Red meat is less than 4 ounces a day. So if you don't eat red meat, you get a point every day.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Dairy is less than 8 ounces. So that's about a cup of Greek yogurt or less, or about 1.5 ounces of hard cheese. So if you have more than that, so that's where if you have more than 4 ounces, you get 0 points. If you have more than that on dairy, you get 0 points. Alcohol is less than the equivalent of a 5 ounce pour for women, the equivalent of 10 ounce pour of wine for men, about 1 ounce of spirits. So it's less than like 14 grams of alcohol.
Yeah.
And that's it. And basically adherence is considered somewhere between 5 and 7 points or more. That's not a difficult thing for people to do and incorporate. And yet, when you do dietary surveys of people, most people end up at 0 or sometimes 1.
Right.
I mean, I end up about 5 points there.
Yeah.
I think, I feel like I get all of those. I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. I didn't know that like half of them were golf rules. It's reversed. You have to get less than, you know, this much dairy. The only one I probably don't, dairy. I eat more dairy than probably.
I lose the dairy point.
Yeah. Oh, and the other one is you should have, your diet should have 60% monounsaturated fats. And this is where some people get a little bit tripped up, because if you have a pastry, chances are it's been made with saturated fat. And you sort of have to account for that fat. If you really want to be very technical and precise, and in when we're doing people in metabolic wards or we're doing those sorts of studies, we get that way with people. We generally say, cook with monounsaturated fat, olive oil, canola oil. Oh my God, canola oil, the evilest oil of all.
Why would you rapeseed oil? Right. Oh my goodness.
Right. Right.
What is that going to do with my
Canadian
insides?
Oil.
Yeah. For those people who don't understand it, it's rapeseed oil. It sounds horrible, doesn't it? What a horrible name. It comes from rapa, which means roughly turnip. It's from the Latin.
I actually did not know that.
So this is what happens when we have classical educations.
I'm not going to say what I thought rapeseed oil came from.
I know. But let's, I mean, you have a child now and they might listen to this someday. So we can't talk about that. So the idea is that you, where it came about was from the seven country studies back in starting out in 1957. And they were looking at the diets which people ate that were the healthiest at the time. Right. And even though Gary Tobbs and every low-carb person who has plagiarized it said Ansel Keys is the devil and he was responsible for everything else, actually he was a brilliant researcher. And ultimately, as studies came out saying, well, how good is this for cancer? Well, how do we measure it? So they started out taking 155 different foods, putting them in, and seeing if they were a positive effect or a negative effect. For example, eggs. People always ask, are eggs good or bad? On the Mediterranean diet, you don't get a point, but you'll get minus a point. They just were never figured in to be good or bad.
They just exist.
They just exist. Potatoes. You don't get a point. You don't get minus point. They just exist, right? And so it has, and so those were the studies that were done. Based on that, they've done a whole bunch of other studies, like the EPIC studies in Europe, where they were looking at cancer and Mediterranean diet, the Leon Heart study, where they were looking at second heart attacks and coronary events and Mediterranean diet. That just gives you the context of how you could measure what you do. And that makes it easy, but it's incredibly difficult because you take anybody on a standard diet, and you guys are clearly the exception to how you eat. Most people just don't do well on a Mediterranean diet, right?
I would assume switching overnight from a standard American diet to a Mediterranean diet would be difficult. And, you know, you're probably dealing with like GI upset and everything with just switching over oh, I have this much whole grain. Like I'm eating this much fiber overnight.
Give me more legumes. Oh, my gosh. Why am I bloated today? And then they'll say they have IBS or they're allergic or oh, my God.
Yeah.
Paul Saldino was right. But again, the data is there and it's convincing and it continues to be constant. The American version of the Mediterranean diet is the DASH diet.
Yeah, I remember
this
one.
The DASH diet was developed in the late 1980s, early 1990s. We had yet at that time to put numbers on the Mediterranean diet. So they came together and said, well, we're going to kind of Americanize this a little bit. The DASH diet will go by 3.5 servings, same amount of fruits, vegetables, dairy. Okay. It has a few more liberal things in it, like it says you can have this much sugar a week, the equivalent of whatever.
Okay.
And they did that because they were looking at hypertension, because hypertension is a huge factor for longevity. Just 10 years of a mild increase in systolic hypertension. We go from 135 to 137. 10 years of that increases your risk of stroke by 7%, increase your risk of heart disease by 10%. So it's really... they were really looking at that. And based on the DASH diet, when you set them side by side, the DASH diet and the Mediterranean diet, they're virtually identical.
Because isn't the H hypertension? It's like dietary action to
dietary
stop.
Approach to stop hypertension.
Dietary approach, action approach, whatever. It works.
Yeah. And so what they've done with the DASH diet was great because they did one of the hardest studies ever to do. They fed people their entire meals for months at a time on the DASH diet and controlled amount of sodium and saw what their health would do. And those patients who are on the DASH diet, so again, they're supplying all the food. This is terribly expensive studies. They're giving all the food to these people for months. People who are on the DASH diet with 2,300 milligrams of sodium or less, it was the equivalent of one antihypertensive pill, like the equivalent of a lisinopril a day or hydrochlorothiazide a day or Lasix a day or pick your poison.
Wow.
And so that was a tremendous nutritional find. And they also compared it to, we're going to look at DASH diet versus other people, and we're going to tell them about the DASH diet, follow up how they eat, and then just tell people to eat more fruits and vegetables. And those are still evolving because for a while they showed DASH was better because it was more, probably more strict. recent study show if you encourage people to eat more fruits and vegetables, you have kind of an equivalent result. So science is never, and as you know, nutritional science is never perfect or complete. It's just
always.
It takes a while.
My Canadians out there, the Canadian equivalent is the Kelvin diet. You're allowed to have 3 Kelvins worth of poutine, 1 Kelvin worth of Nanaimo bars.
I thought that was just whatever Kelvin tells you to eat.
All dress chips.
And we just listen to Kelvin. He says, okay, this morning you're going to have eggs on toast.
That's right.
Dr. Terry correctly, we should be supplying everyone's food in America. Like every day we just ship out food that has this is the DASH diet. These are the foods you eat every day and everyone will be healthy. We've solved it. I mean, it's amazing.
Now, we have solved the problem. Okay, and good. We're done, guys.
We're done. That's it. Nobel Prize. Podcast.
Send it to the three of us. You can split it 3 ways. We can figure it out. We're done.
All you have to do is supply everyone's food every day.
And what I think is so amazing is that now, as all of us know on social media, you don't hear a lot about Mediterranean or DASH diets at all. You will hear about low carb. You will hear about carnivore. You will hear all of the gym bros say, you got to eat 17 steaks a week. You've got to look at this is what I like these guys. This is what I'm eating this morning. I'm having 12 eggs, 4 steaks, 16 hamburger patties, and I feel great. And all my inflammation is gone. It's like,
the inflammation.
How the hell did you figure that out? None of them believe in the cholesterol theory of heart disease.
God forbid.
It's a whole other bag of worms.
But what you don't see is people out there, except for me, but because I'm kind of an idiot, proposing this because, well, we actually have data. We actually have tremendous numbers of papers. We actually have all of this. And we can't sell supplements because everything's in the diet, which really pisses me off because I want to be able to sell purified brain matter from pigs that have Kuro or something.
So my question to you though is the reason that stuff sells well is because the Mediterranean diet has been around for a while, right? In terms of diets, right? It's been around for a while.
I mean, there's Mediterranean. I mean, you know.
Exactly. So Helen
went to Troy because they had better Mediterranean food. I mean, come on, it wasn't for the damn king.
So we've had it for a long time. We've all known this. And I think the problem comes whatever doesn't work. It's the same thing with politics or whatever. People get mad when things don't get better. And whatever the current thing is in place, we're like, okay, that's the problem. So we've known about the Mediterranean diet for a long time. No one seems to be getting healthier. So we're like, so that's the problem. Everything we know is wrong. We're not following the actual diet. It's just we've known it.
It's like when people say, well, do you believe in the food pyramid? And I said, so let me get this straight. Your theory is that if we follow the food pyramid, last one was that 10 years ago. If we followed the food pyramid, we become a healthy and obese nation. Yes, that's exactly correct. And you say, you pull out the food pyramid and say, gee, if everybody followed this, we'd have 12% less diabetes in the United States now. We'd have less hypertension. We'd have less obesity. So I'm not sure what you're saying. If the food pyramid was so bad, you know.
Yeah.
Clearly, you guys just needed the food rainbow.
The food
and
Kelvin.
And the Kelvin.
Food. And the Kelvin exactly. system.
Yeah. Don't forget Kelvin. Swiss Chalet because, you know.
And so, you know, it seems whatever's new, just you have to, in order to sell your supplements, your meal plans, your books, whatever, you have to come up with something new. So, and contradictory theories, I should say, are always enticing, right? Everything you know is wrong. Guys, everything you know have ever been told, it's all the opposite. So that's fun.
And they have the answer for you.
Right. And you know, here's what I have. This is part of that four fists don't know 80% is four fists. When people come at me, as they on occasion do, when I look at their background, they all seem to have some common themes to their background.
Chiropractor.
chiropractor, not very well educated, typically from south part of the United States, typically, you know, on right side of the political scale. And I'm not trying to get into politics or anything here, but, you know, there's a theme. And I think the other part of the theme is you have people who, because they don't have a large scientific background, want something simple that they can grab onto. Right. So if I say simple things like you get everything you need through meat, well, you don't, obviously, but all of the carnivore people say that. Well, all these people live great on meat. It's like, actually, no, they didn't. No, they don't. But they'll say that. And look at me, I'm a gym bro and I do this because I eat carnivore. And it's like, No, you look like that because you work out like crazy, and that's fine for you, but that doesn't mean your arteries are healthy if you're if you have, you know, 170 LDL.
And, you know, your eggs contain every essential nutrient you could ever need, plus 10 more.
Right.
You know, so just right. eat a dozen a day.
And I always like asking, so how much magnesium are you getting from your beef? Well,
my supplement that I buy from him right, contains all the magnesium I need, though.
And I think there are a couple of answers. Is number one, people are so, but they want to be able to understand something in a way. And then they want to believe the government is bad. Right. And then they want to believe that medical systems are bad. And now they have the answer for everything. It's all, you should eat low carb. It was what? Went from low carb to keto to paleo to now carnivore. We've gone through the,
yeah.
You know, the not that we want to get political here, but conveniently you said a lot of them end up being right wing. And just recently in Canada, we did a survey of people believing in conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
And of the people that believed in conspiracy theories, 87 of the conservatives believed in at least one conspiracy
theory. We're going to get into so much trouble here. I'm sure you have a large conservative following on this podcast. But I mean, but I think the thing is that when, and I do like it when, so, and then there's three levels of people who answer you. There are those people who, they will believe somebody who is an authority figure, Gary Brecka, how, who's the other, who's the guy from Stanford who's an ophthalmologist? Huberman.
Yeah. Oh, is he? Okay, I actually didn't know that. Yeah.
Huberman, he's not an ophthalmologist. He's an eye neuroscientist or something. Yeah, I don't know, he's not an MD. Or pick somebody, and they will believe whatever the authority figure says. Like Gary Brecka, there's 1,400 things about hydrogen water. And I go, you know, this is really an easy thing to look up. Click, 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 click. Oh, there's 130, and most of them say there's no problem. This is not an issue. But
it's almost like water has hydrogen in it to start with.
Most water does. And I like the little hydrogen bottles. You know, you see those little bottles, and I just push this button, it's making hydrogen. Well, it's applying an electrical current and disassociating the oxygen from the hydrogen, and it's bubbling out, and you're not getting any benefit whatsoever. If you think you are, because that's not, but go ahead and buy the bottle. I mean, science is such a useful thing. So that's there. There's that level. The second level of people are the Googlers. I Googled it and found this, right? Now I'm running into people who actually are sending me PubMed stuff. They'll say, here's a P. So I always ask, show me your PMID. So I have a bunch of people now, here's the PMID. And they'll send, do you want more? And it's like, well, actually, I've read all of those studies. And now the next level you need to get to is being able to analyze the studies. Because when something says, when you see a lack of statistical significance or something's done in vitro and it's not done in vivo.
Yeah.
You know, so at least knowing a PubMed and sending me a PMID is closer to
on the right path. I'll take that. At least, I mean, for me, at least I'm like, okay, at least this is a study. Yes, they mega dose rats with something and right. some bad things happen. Right. I got that.
Usually they're hyper fixated on one sentence in the abstract.
That's true. And they will say, or the title, which is, I mean, titles and publications are clickbait, right? That's what we
they are.
Right. And the title may completely be slightly different than what the conclusions are. The conclusions are we need more data. But the title is like,
you know. The farts cured cancer or farts helped fight cancer. Do you remember that was going around? That was my favorite. You see this, Rob, where like there was basically one study where they were looking at gases and their relationship to cancer.
Right. So people who have more hydrogen sulfate in their farts had less colon cancer.
Right. And so they people like on like news outlets and like mostly talk shows, like morning talk shows were like, hey, big guy, big goose and the hot dog here. And we found out that smelling farts can actually prevent cancer or fight cancer. And it was so funny. They kept calling up the people who ran the study and they're like, we want to get you on the podcast. Talk about this. We want to get you on the morning talk show. And they're like, no. Like we didn't say that. I don't know how you're getting this. And it was just like that weird game of telephone where each step lost another little piece, and by the end of it they were all just like, yeah, smell your significant
and yet
other's
you
parts.
Can and yet you'll find that in Google. So anyway, that's sort of that's these are sort of the levels we get to. And the difficulty, the other one that I like is seed oils.
Okay, yeah, of course.
So here's my seed oil study of today. I have a Karmann Ghia, 1974 Karmann Ghia. I keep it in what's called a car capsule, which is this inflatable thing around it because, you know, I have a 13-year-old son and there's a bike in the garage and I don't want my Karmann Ghia that I've had since 1990 and recently restored to be nicked up. So right. I have this car capsule. Well, the problem is that it's a Karmann Ghia. It's a VW. And so I filled it with gasoline last week before I brought it out and brought it home. Now all this gasoline is sitting in this car capsule, the fumes. So when I open up the garage, it's like, all right. I have consumed more hexane unzipping my car capsule and getting that out than I would if I were to drink 1 billion gallons of vegetable oil. You know.
The hexane. So anybody listening, hexane is used to you know, refine the oil and make, you know, to remove impurities and stuff. And the reason they use hexane is because it's easily removed at the end of the process. But then you get all the carnivore, all the other people saying, no, it's still in there. And it's like basically just drinking it.
Yeah, the boiling point's only like 60 degrees Celsius, yeah. I think. Yeah.
Right. For those of you who are in the real world, 60 degrees Celsius.
Oh, sorry.
Which is 400 degrees Kelvin.
Probably, yeah.
So what is that in freedom units? Sorry?
Freedom units, 60. That'd be, what, about 180?
No, that's 10 Abe Lincolns.
10 Abe Lincolns in freedom units. There we go.
So anyway, it's and so you get those sorts of things. And what they'll say is, look, seed oils have gone up and so is obesity. So seed oils must be the problem. And it's like, well, it's pretty easy to put oil into snacks, and every snack you have has
a high-calorie food at every meal.
10 years ago, you were blaming sugar, but that didn't pan out, and now we're blaming seed oils.
Right, and that comes back to it, right? It's always, you know, whatever we're doing at the time, you know, it's just like, this is the standard approach that must be wrong because people are still sick. So we have to change it, and we have to try different things. I think the three of us and a lot of people listening probably know, like, it's the simple approach, the Mediterranean diet, getting lots of fruits, vegetables, legumes, whole grains, all that sort of stuff. I mean, I would love to just like maybe chat a little bit and try and give people some advice, like maybe like a breakfast, lunch, dinner, like, hey, how could you get more of these things at breakfast, lunch, dinner, a snack, those sort of things.
Okay.
You
so know, let's start at breakfast. So oats are a great whole grain item.
Despite what Paul Saladino says, oats are amazing.
Right. And there's plenty of evidence for this. And there's only been about 1,000 people on TikTok that have shown that oats are really healthy for you. So I like oats in the morning because a lot of times I have to commute. And I live in Southern California. So if I have to commute 2 miles, it's about an hour and a half. So, not quite, but almost. So, for example, I will take oats and I'll take 8 ounces of oat milk, about a third to a half a cup of oats. Put them in a shaker bottle. Then I'll add about a tablespoon of chia seed. So now the oats, I've gotten about one third of my whole grain thing. The chia seeds are part of the seeds and nuts. So I've gotten a little bit of that. I can throw protein powder in there if I want to. I can throw, you know, little bits of dates in there and whatever. I shake it up at night and put it in the refrigerator. And in the morning, all those lectins now are gone. All those phyto whatevers are gone. But it's nice because I can throw blueberries in there, and I usually throw a cup of blueberries in there, and I can drink it on the way as opposed to my overnight oats, which I have to eat with a fork and spoon. So that's one simple Mediterranean diet.
Speaking of chia seeds, I've been doing some breakfast live streams lately.
Yeah. Oh,
and one of the things, like in pretty much every breakfast meal, I'll pull out a bag of chia seeds I've got in the cupboard. I'm like, this is an easy way to add some healthy fats and fibers, people.
Right. Yeah, it was about 10 grams of fiber or something. And the other one that I like in the morning is I like plain non-fat Greek yogurt just because that's what I get at Costco and it's cheap and it's easy. And a cup of that and a cup of blueberries, and that's about 170 calories for breakfast. And I'm full for, you know, hours. For lunch, it's pretty easy. Like if you give two slices of bread that are whole wheat, you have now, if you've done the oatmeal, you've now gotten one Mediterranean diet point. You've gotten all of your whole grains. You can do peanut butter. There's your legume.
Right?
There you go. It has to be crunchy.
Has to be crumb. Of course, has to be. We know that. You don't even have to say it, Rob. Listen.
I only do smooth. I'm sorry.
We finally have a smoother.
No, I do want to say, though, like, especially for, like, breakfast and stuff, I think a lot of people, they try these recipes they see, and they're like, oh, I don't really like this. It's too bland. It's too whatever. You really do have to, you know, set it for yourself so that you like it. Like, it is okay to throw some other things in there that are, quote, unquote, unhealthy to make you it taste better to you. I just see
it's
so many people afraid
okay
to do that.
To substitute your bananas,
right? I throw in a tablespoon of. Do you know that my Canadian wife doesn't like real maple syrup?
What?
That is pretty funny.
That's pretty.
Are you sure she's real Canadian?
That was
actually born in Hong Kong, but raised in Toronto, and her parents are Canadian. She claims that, but you know, when I'm making French toast in the morning, I'll have real maple syrup for me and my son, who doesn't understand the price of the proper thing. So he'll fill up his plate with maple syrup, and you know, it's like there's $18 of maple syrup, and then he eats his toast and he's gone, and it's like, oh my God. And she'll have Mrs. Buttersworth, which is like,
oh no.
I know. She's I just like the taste of it better. So I will put real maple syrup in my oatmeal shake. I have little things you can buy them. Desiccated little bits of dates I throw in there. You can get there's all sorts of things.
Yeah, exactly. Like even like I will sometimes like for like oats in the morning. I like these things. They're little Butterfinger bits. So they're Butterfingers, but they're in tiny little bits. And I throw a few on there. It's like 50 calories. It's like whatever. It makes it taste better. Yes,
it's
candy in the morning.
It's going to raise your insulin, and you're going to die of heart disease.
All these things. I'm like, it just gives a little bit of flavor. I'm still getting most of my calories from the oats and the berries and stuff. I throw a little bit of something that makes it
so there's a lot of stuff. And so I used to have this friend of mine, she's a chef in Arizona, and every morning on Twitter, remember Twitter, it's something that used to be, you know, used to
I think
be
it's
fun.
Called Z now,
yeah, something like that.
<Q? laughs>
But she did for like 5 years the smoothie of the day, and she had all these great chef ingredients. Like she put star anise in there, and she would put balsamic glaze, and she had these great smoothies. And so I find the same thing that I can do. I'll put a little balsamic vinegar and some strawberries in my morning smoothie. I'll break up the strawberries or I'll put in some dried fruits in them. And it just, so you can do a lot of things with them. And again, lunch is easy, but I'll also have a banana. I'll have an apple in the afternoon, because when I drive home, I get up at ridiculously early hours. I will fall asleep if I'm driving. So I'll have a couple of carrots, because I discovered if I'm chewing on carrots, I'm not going to fall asleep. Now
that's actually a really good trick for driving long distances if you're chewing on something.
Yeah,
I keep it helps
a bunch
with your
gum
eyesight.
In my truck for driving.
So I keep carrots. I have a cup of typically a cup of grapes. So already in lunch, I've had 2/3 of my vegetable requirement. I've had my legumes. I've had the whole grains. I'll finish the fruits off, and then at dinner, it's like I'll have salmon. I'll have a salad. I'll have some vegetables. And by the end of dinner, I've now got 9 points.
You can do all sorts of different whole grains. There's lots of different types of grains. I encourage people to try them out. I found farro like recently. Like it's a little more expensive, but I really like it. It's like it's a chewier. It's got more like texture to it.
Barley is great.
Barley, you know, that's cheaper. That's like a lot cheaper. So, you know, and that's the thing is a lot of people, they want this just list of like this, these are the things you eat. And it's just like, I can't make this exactly for you because your tastes are different. So you have to find, it doesn't matter. Like, well, which vegetable's best? Which fruit is best? Which whole grain is best? I'm just like, stop.
The ones
please
you eat.
Stop.
Right. So that's the beauty of the Mediterranean diet, because, for example, mangoes clearly are not Mediterranean, nor are tomatoes, by the way, nor is rice. All of those can be on the Mediterranean diet. So you can have just be in the south part of the Philippines and eat a perfectly good Mediterranean diet by eating mango, jackfruit, you know, plantains.
Yeah, there was a recipe that you posted probably 6 or 7 months ago. It involved tomatoes. What was it? Tomatoes and chicken or something. But I made that for supper one night. Mm-hmm. And it was really good.
Yeah, I mean, I try and post simple stuff because I think there's a tremendous fear of... When I first started getting into culinary medicine, it was because as a weight loss surgeon, I discovered the vast majority of my patients didn't ever cook. And so most of my things were, let's teach you the simple things of cooking. And there was a tremendous fear about cooking. So I've, you know, have all of these very, very simple recipes that you can do in a sheet pan or something. And the simpler that I can make it, the more easy it is for people to adopt it and like it.
Yeah. Do you have anything for someone, say someone's listening right now, like I've never like cooked, like I've never like done anything. Like, do you have like suggestions, tips, anything just for getting started? Like just at the start, what are some little things you can do just to kind of usher your way into cooking more for yourself?
I think it depends on where your fear is, right? Is your fear the stovetop versus the oven? So for example, I will cook, so I can cook a meal for four in my toaster oven. And for some reason, that's less intimidating. And for me, it's better. When I used to live in Phoenix, if I'd fire up the old oven, it would heat up the whole house. It was all 120 degrees outside. It was terrible. Living up in the cold parts where Rob is, where, you know, it's already 100 degrees below zero in Kelvin units now. he has the stove on now. He probably has, you know, someone tending to it right now. You know, one of the little old ladies.
Got the wood stove going.
Yeah. I mean, he's polluting the earth. I mean, this is why we're having a problem.
It's all
Canada's fault. Blame Canada.
And well, we should. So for example, you can take four fillets of salmon, and it can be farm raised, add a little bit of salt and pepper.
Speaking
of maple syrup, you can throw maple syrup on the top.
Oh, maple glazed salmon is delicious.
Put it into your toaster oven at 400 degrees, and in 10 minutes, you have four salmon fillets. That's that easy.
And I bring it up every time because I need to every time. The frozen vegetables. I keep telling people, like, it's just so much easier. I love the packs that are already mixed with different vegetables. I just put them in the microwave. You cook them on the stovetop. You cook them however you need to cook them. It just makes it so simple.
So, and then I think there's a lot of fear of stovetop cooking because – a lot of people have gas ovens. I switched my gas out for induction because, you know, I'm in California and that's what we do. But I like induction cooking just because it's more reliable and safer. But it's just a matter of getting started. And I always sort of feel like once you get – and I always recommend some of these meal services like Blue Apron. Why? Because all the ingredients are in there and you will learn to make a variety of things and you will get more confident because they supply everything with you. All you need is like, I mean, then there's a bunch of Fresh and Easy and.
Oh, there's tons of them.
Right. Yeah. But, and they supply you with stuff and you will just learn to do things and that makes your life easier. When I met the future Mrs. Simpson, she didn't cook at all. And I never expected her to cook because as a bachelor, I discovered that the best thing about cooking as a man was when I had my dates, I never had to ask them if they wanted to come inside because they were already in the house, you know? And
so, there's food in there,
right? Yo, you're going to feed me. I'm coming in. And so she started using Blue Apron in the last couple of years and has learned to cook. And this is a woman who is, you know, TV producer. I'm never going to cook. I'm never going to have children. It's like, oh, you haven't met me yet. But and she's Canadian. But
we'll argue about that because of the maple syrup thing.
Well, yeah, I think that's probably a good point. But I think having those sorts of services and learning to cook from them, or learning to cook with some simple recipes that are on any site, makes it so much easier. America Test Kitchen has a lot of great simple recipes. They perfected them. You can go online, learn those recipes. Milk Street has a lot of recipes. What I like about the Mediterranean diet is when people have come off of their years on keto and it's like, you know, you can have pasta on this diet. You can have whole grain pasta. Mm-hmm. Look at how easy this is to make. And it's like, oh my God, I can have pasta and lose weight. Yes. Yes, you can. Guess what? It's filling. A bowl of pasta is what? 160, 170 calories.
Yeah. You just
get some of that edamame pasta.
Oh, I love the edamame pasta. It's like 40 grams of protein.
I always find the legume pastas to be, they break too easily.
The chickpea ones break pretty easily. The ones made from soybeans definitely don't, but the texture is a little tougher Like, right. So if you don't like that, then...
And whole grain pasta is cheap. Whole grain pasta used to be kind of much more, about four times as expensive as regular. And now it's just, it's the same price.
It's basically the same price. I would say, like, for the Blue Aprons and whatnot, whatever meal service, that's a great, like, introduction. Like, you don't really need to stay on it forever. But if you get those things and it just teaches you how to do it, and then you can kind of go off on your own. I learned through just, like, Pinterest, basically, just looking up, like, oh, recipes with this, because that's what I have. Butternut squash. I bought one. I don't know why, but I have it now. How can I use this? And then I just make that, and it sometimes
the
it turned out
great.
The hard
part about butternut squash is learning how to open it.
I literally have a closet of squash right there.
Okay,
I love squash.
You need a serrated knife for butternut squash, and that's the best. Or that the axe behind you is probably okay for butternut squash.
Oh yeah, it's an amazing cooking utensil.
But for butternut squash, what I found was the easiest way for that. Some people like butternut squash because if they're on the low carb diet, they want to use the squash.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, hit it a bunch of times with a fork and microwave it for a few minutes, and it's much easier to cut.
Yeah,
you know,
it's great.
But I think that's it. I think it's the fear of food. And here's the other thing I like about cooking at home. I'll come after a 12-hour day of seeing patients and stuff, but I don't have to change and go to a restaurant and wait for somebody to bring me something. I can go home and be in my pajamas and just cook. And it's
maybe do some cozy cardio.
Yeah.
My walking pad out. Yeah, I mean, it's
that's,
it really
that's what
is.
Led to my first child. So, I mean.
it's just so interesting with food, like especially like the Mediterranean diet. I understand this. I really do get this desire to want the new thing because we all want the answer. But like, if it's the Mediterranean diet, the DASH diet, all these diets, they all really have like the same things in common, right? Like they're all kind of have the same foundation. Lots of fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, you know,
monounsaturated fatty acids,
monounsaturated fats, you know,
not
like
much
nuts,
alcohol,
alcohol in moderation, no alcohol, whatever. And
so this
diet
is definitely not Bobby approved then.
It does have things that he probably can't pronounce, but you know, his vocabulary is rather limited anyway.
And I just want to tell people, like, I do get the desire to want something new because people see like the low carb, the carnivore, whatever. And will it work? Of course it will work. I just get this all the time. People like, I lost weight eating low carb. I lost weight eating carnivore. I'm not surprised in the least. Because you're just eating just basically meat and you're cutting out all the refined carbs that you were over consuming before. Any diet that does that will work.
Yeah. But so, I mean, we proved that years ago. I co-authored a book called The Beer and Sausage Diet with my friend Ivo Terra. We put him on it for 1 month a year for 4 years in a row. Every week he would come into the office. We would measure. He had so many blood draws. We would measure everything. So we were afraid. So we had 6 beers a day and sausage. And I made him have some fiber and a vitamin or two. Every year he lost weight. Every year his numbers got better. His cholesterol got better. His triglycerides got better. Every year his liver function enzymes got better. He lost weight. You know, he might regain a little bit back, but not much. All of his numbers got better because he lost weight, did better. And he couldn't wait to get off it at the end of the month and fire up some scrambled eggs and get some pizza and stuff like that. But clearly for that month at a time, we proved that A, calories matter, and you know, vegans weren't happy because he was having sausage, and the keto people weren't having because he was having beer, and nobody could believe that he was losing weight. But you can with calorie deficit. It's easier in a calorie. So carnivore diet does it in calorie excess because you're tired. You get sick of steak, you get sick of bison, if you're up in the north, or polar bear, whatever it is that Robbie
testicles.
Yeah, we're not talking about your personal life here. We're talking about food. Keep them.
Okay.
A little column A, a little column B.
But I mean, you just get tired of the same thing. You can do it another way by when you eat more things that are satisfying to you, like try eating a cup of broccoli and being hungry. You know, a cup of broccoli is 30 calories. And even though they say how horrible pasta is, a cup of pasta is 160, 170, a cup of rice is 170 calories, you're going to be quite satisfied after that. And the more you're satisfied, the less interested you are. And when you're dieting, you're always hungry. You're always wanting. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but if there's a Rice Krispie bar around, I'm it's going to be decimated. I'm sorry. It's oh, just, yeah. it's me. Definitely. It's gone. If there's ice cream in the freezer, it's gone. Ooh. You know, but if I'm hungry, chips. Somehow I can resist the call sometimes.
Right. And so, you know, finding these things like in the Mediterranean diet, adding more of these things into your diet is so much better for long term. And that's what Rob and I keep preaching. It's just like, yes, a lot of these things will work in the short term. But how many of people who what percentage of people go on diets regain the weight? Almost right. all of them, most of them, at least.
Well, you've heard about years. maybe you haven't. But one of my favorite holidays is called Fatty Solstice. Fatty Solstice is the day in February when more people go to fast food places than go to gyms. And there's an really? Actual curve, and it's usually the first or second Thursday in the month where people going to gym go down and people going to fast food places go up. So the typical diet doesn't last that long. Now, obviously, we'll see the people. I've been on low carb for 900 years, and look at me.
Yes, you know? Exactly.
But I think that – so the beauty of Mediterranean or the beauty of DASH is it forces you to put stuff in your diet. If it were up to me, I wouldn't eat many vegetables because I'm just 4 years old in my own brain, you know? But this forces me to have that because I want the points because I gamed it in my brain. And once you're into wanting those points, then it's like, wow, look, my cholesterol actually – you know, I mean, I get my labs. I mean, I'm older than freak around here. So I have all these labs checked every year. And all of these things have gotten better being on that diet just and maintaining a weight. And you can lose weight by, you know, changing numbers. And that's just
okay. You know. So then you'd probably encourage people after listening to this episode, right? They go home, they're driving home right now. You know, why would it be good for them to get just a pen and paper out and just be like, okay, let's see what kind of points I can get, correct. You know, this that's, week, I next week.
And the other easiest way is get a little gram scale if you're in Canadian or an ounce scale if you're an American. Mm-hmm. And you can actually measure things. Like, for example, a medium apple is about 6 ounces, right? 2 carrots are about 6 ounces. Once you have those in your head, you can say, wow, I can game the system to get those things in. Adding chickpeas to your salad will get you that point, you know. And by the way, tofu, I have a tofu press. It is revolutionary. Do you have a tofu press? It's
I get this super extra firm tofu. There's like a special tofu that I get now that is already so pressed. It's like extra protein tofu because it's like super pressed and I love it. It's the only tofu I'll get now because it's already so pressed. It's like the best. But like, so I know you already told us what like the 9 things are, but that was like 8 hours ago when we started this podcast and people have already forgotten.
All right,
so now they're home.
9 ounces.
They've got their... Fruits. You've got your paper out. Yeah, fruits. Hold on. No, they're getting their paper out right now, Dr. Terry. Hold on. They're getting their paper out right now. They're doing it. I
People
have my
use
pen.
Paper?
Okay, Dr. Terry, go tell me what the 9 things or whatever they were are. I'm writing them down right now.
If you go to terrysimpson.com, there's a Mediterranean diet section. I don't sell anything That's there, good. So don't worry. There's a Mediterranean diet section. It has the whole breakdown right there, you know.
Okay.
And if you go to my TikTok channel, I think on the pin thing, there's a Mediterranean guide there and it's there and it has them along with some ideas. But so it's pretty easy to follow. It's pretty easy to do. Now, there are people who say, I don't like fish. I'm allergic to fish. I'm allergic to things. It's like, so you get 8 points instead of 9.
Right.
You're going to be okay. No, you can't substitute Absolutely. Chicken for fish. 2 different things. No, the fish capsules won't do you any good. Excess, right. you know, fish oil leads to atrial fibrillation, which can lead to stroke. So please don't do that. But
just get 1 point you can. So go to drterrysimpson.com.
Terrysimpson.org. Terrysimpson.com. Dr. Terry Simpson is my weight loss surgery stuff. They'll go into there and they'll say, wait a minute, okay. I need to get a gastric bypass. All right.
So you have 2 options, whatever you're looking for. TerrySimpson.com, Mediterranean, write those things.
And then on TikTok, there's the guide. But it's just, it makes it easy, and it's the hardest, easiest thing to implement. And this is what I've been told.
It's too simple.
But this is what I've been told from all these patients. It's like, and so what I say to them is this, start with 1 thing this week. Start with vegetables. Just this week, make sure you get 9 ounces of vegetables in. Start with that. Make that. And if you need to do that for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, you're still going to be better off by increasing that. It's pretty easy.
That goes right back to our very first episode.
Yes, you have your whole life.
You have your whole life, guys. Just 1 thing. It's okay to do 1 thing. You don't have to change everything overnight.
But I also think that probably the best part of the diet are legumes, because people, which are beans, peas, lentils, because they add so much fiber to your diet. They yes. add so much of a great protein source to your diet. They are so flavorful. There's 10,000 varieties of beans. You'll only find about 6 in your average store. And we were just talking about soybeans and tofu and
sure, yep.
you know,
yep.
and
beans are so underrated.
Yeah.
So underrated.
And they're delicious. And, you know, if you were to say, I don't like eggs. I just don't like the taste of eggs. It's not my thing. I just don't like them. But huevos rancheros with lots of beans, then the eggs are kind of unctuous adding to it. And I don't mind it.
Maybe like a burrito with like eggs in the burrito, but also beans. Like
I'd get rid of the egg and just have the beans and some good salsa.
I'm fine with that too. But I'm just saying people.
Speaking of which, let's do two varieties of Taco Hell. Okay. The standard American Taco Bell taco is, you look at the taco, it is filled with poor quality beef and a lot of cheese and a smear right. of salsa.
And sour cream.
And sour cream. How would you Mediterraneanize that? You would make you would take like a whole grain, you know, shell or whatever kind you want. And you would put in a lot of salsa. Now, there's some great salsas out there. And you can learn to make your own salsa. But there's some great chunky salsas out there. You put a bunch of that in. Mm-hmm. You would put in a little bit of fried fish or maybe fried shrimp. That's going to get that side of it. And then you will put in some beans. And if you want to put in guacamole, guacamole is a fruit, which is a berry, which fits into the fruit thing. And you can put in a little other beef if you want to. But that's how you can take a Mexican food and take it from a standard American diet. And guess what? It tastes just as good, if not better. It's crunchy. It's delicious.
Honestly, that sounds better.
Yeah.
No, it sounds, I would rather go for that myself.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's sort of how the Mediterranean diet works. And anybody who's been to the Mediterranean, now, Mediterranean, 23,000 miles of coastline, 43 different countries, lots of different cuisine, but oddly, many of them are the same. So many of the places you go in the Mediterranean, the cuisine is very, very, very similar. And speaking of how far back, so this is one of my favorite things. So everybody always asks, what about creatine? What about protein powder? What about it? And all those things are fine if you like them.
Yeah.
But I was like pointing out the ancient Greeks, where you can see their statues, you can see their bronze plates, and they look great. Do you know what their diet was in ancient Greece or the Roman gladiators? Whole grain cereals, not Kix, although I did discover when I was eating my son's Fruit Loops the other day, boy, these are surprisingly good. whole grain cereals, fruits, some vegetables, and pulses. They occasionally had fish, rarely ever had meat because meat wasn't a part of their diet. So the Mediterranean diet truly has been around for a long time, and those people didn't have powdered this or powdered that, and they did great. And if you look at Arnold Schwarzenegger before, you know, when he first came, they didn't have protein powders. He did have good steroids, but, you know, that was a separate issue.
It helps when you're a bodybuilder. That definitely helps a little bit. Yeah, I would love to bring Dr. Terry back and just like a whole episode of Mediterranean swaps. Just like every, you know, we go through all the foods. Like, this is how you would make this more Mediterranean. That sort
of stuff.
Well,
let's take breakfast. Awesome. Let's say you want a good Mediterranean breakfast and you like eggs. You know, baked beans and eggs are a wonderful, wonderful combination, and Mexican salsa with that makes it just delicious. And you can add a little pepper, and you can have a whole grain tortilla on there instead of bread.
I love
baked
beans.
Can have whole grain bread, and now all of a sudden you have a wonderful Mediterranean meal that was never made in the Mediterranean. Tomatoes were never in the Mediterranean, you know, but it's just delicious, and you've gotten some good points there. I mean, one of my goals in life is to find the best huevos rancheros in the world. And every place I go, it's like, do you have huevos? Let me try them. And, you know,
I think we just need to get past the idea that you have to eat nothing but salads, basically, you know, just people.
But salads aren't a bad place for people to start. Do you ever follow the Salad Lab on TikTok?
I don't think so.
So find her. It's a salad lab. She says they make fabulous salads every day. It's kind of her shtick. And she has this big salad bowl and she puts in all these ingredients and she has tons and tons of recipes. So you could do nothing but make salads if you're afraid of heat, afraid of, you know, burning down your house and stuff. because you can make some great salads with chickpeas and lettuce and tomatoes and radishes. Okay. And
so TerrySimpson.com and The Salad Lab. Those are your two places you're going to go after this. So you can find the Mediterranean region. You can find ways to implement it. You can get those foods into your diet. And you don't have to eat nothing but steak and eggs for the rest of your life.
And do it one at a time.
One at a time.
So I remember being, you know, many, many years ago, I read Dr. Atkins' book and said, I'm going to do this. And I remember going to Italy with my brother. And it was like, how am I going to go to Italy and eat low carb? And they must all be fat in Italy, because of course I believed Robert Atkins' bullshit. This was before I had an actual formal education in this stuff. And then mad cow, remember mad cow disease?
Oh yeah.
It hit Italy, and it's like, okay, I'm not going to do that. So I get to Italy, and the first thing I notice is, where are all the fat people? They're all gorgeous. They dress better than me. I'm a typical American slob. You can spot me as a tourist anyway, you know, right? And they're all gorgeous. They're all eating pasta. Their pasta doesn't have a lot of meat in it. It has a lot of vegetables in it. And the pasta is delicious and it's fresh. And oh my God, I know tomatoes came from America, but these tomatoes really taste fresh and wonderful because, you know, they're not made to be packaged and survive 16 months in delivery. Mm-hmm. And it was like, what an eye-opener. And then I went to Asia. Now, of course, if you eat nothing but rice, you realize you'll only become fat. And you go to Asia and it was like, and I'm seeing these very thin Asian women and Asian monks with bowls of rice wolfing it down. And it's like, and they're thin. What's going on? My mind is blown.
Oh, imagine trying to gain weight just eating like mostly rice. I would be so full it would not go well.
And and yet, what happens when we look at second generation Japanese in America who eat mostly a Japanese diet? What is the one thing they add to that diet that has increased their weight and calories? It's the meat. When you look at Italians in America, they wrote back to their Italians in the old country bragging that they were eating meat every day. And the people in the old country said, oh, you're not. You're bragging. No, that's like the streets are paved with gold and stuff like that. But meat in America is cheap.
That's pretty funny.
And what's happened to Italians in America or Asians in America as we add meat? Not that meat's the bad thing, because it's not. But it's just a huge form of calories. I mean, a cup of broccoli is 30 calories. A cup of steak is 800 calories. So it's just changed. So you see a bowl of pasta in Italy. You might have a little meat in it. You'll have a lot of wonderful, tasty vegetables. Tomato sauce. My mouth is watering. My microphone is now filled with saliva.
Stomach's rumbling. I don't know if you guys can hear that.
You go to Olive Garden, and you're going to get 900 meatballs and an endless, you know, thing. And it's like, it's not the pasta, folks. It's not the pasta that's causing you to be fat here.
Well, it's also the sauce that has like mostly oil and cheese.
It's seed oils, isn't it?
I doubt they cook with olive oil at Olive Garden. I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I'm pretty sure it's nothing but rapeseed oil.
Or peanut
rancid
oil.
Rancid oil.
Or it's rancid, all rancid. Hexane That's oil. Right. Don't get this. It's rancid. Does Paul say anything truthful? I keep waiting, you know.
I don't think he has.
I mean, he says fruits are good for you. You
he
know?
Does like fruits.
I get along with that.
I think that was after James Blunt came down with scurvy. And he was trying to convince people that, you know, carnivore, you know, contains everything. So,
yeah, he was also having digestive problems going strict carnivore or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, you're not supposed to because you're getting rid of all of those. And I always say, I love that plants defend themselves. It's like, and animals don't. You ever try to kill an animal and see what happens to them when they try?
That's such a weird, but again, it goes back to that simple thing that people love. Like, oh yeah, no, that makes sense because it doesn't want to be eaten. Like, don't think any more into it. Don't go any levels deeper. Right. Only stay on the surface, right. And that makes sense.
Right, right.
And stick to two syllable words.
Well, no. You got to say big words, but like people won't know what they are. You just say like, no, this proves my point. And that's it. Like, don't worry about what it is.
Like Gary Brecker, there are 1,400 articles showing how hydrogen water is the best water in the world. It's like, Gary, you know how easy this is to look up?
but also buy his Analema stick that like restructures the water.
The water stick, the magic water stick for $2,000.
I love the water stick. That's I want to. If I'm getting rich, I'm selling a magic water stick.
Oh, 100%. The other one I like is methylated vitamins. This one test you should get. You can get it from me. It's like $600, but I only need once. It's like you can get it from 99 or 23andMe for $99 if you're really concerned. And by the way, if you're really concerned, for $12 you can get a homocysteine test. And if it's positive, by the way, we would have probably already known that because we checked babies for it anyway. So it's really not a problem for you. Who's Dana White, the guy that he's supposed to have saved?
He's the president of UFC.
University of Friends. Corporate, I don't know. What is UFC?
That's where they get in the octagon and punch each other. That's where they get in that ring and they beat the living hell out of each other. That's what that, Dana apparently White, that whole thing.
Apparently he was supposed to have saved him, got him off all his medicines, and people say this and I say, but he's not a doctor. Why would you?
Oh no, he told Dana White like the day he was gonna die. Like he knew everything. Like it was great. It was a great show. Like if you were watching like a TV show and that was it, you'd be like, yeah, this is really good. But like in reality, it's very funny nonsense.
Oh, that is one of his great lectures. We can tell from where you live and your birth date the day you're gonna die within like 3 weeks. And it's like okay, I've had people with pancreatic cancer that have lived 2 weeks with it and the same pancreatic cancer lived 6 months. How do you know?
Because he pays well.
When my mother got diagnosed with cancer, they gave her a month. She lasted 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, we're just not that good. But that's one of his proud things. I'm a human biologist. It's like, I had one person.
I love the human biologist so much. I love that. So good.
I had one person tell me, you don't know anything because he's a human biologist and you're just a doctor. And it's like, okay.
That's
got me there.
So great. Check in me. Because that doesn't mean anything. You need to pick things that don't really mean anything but sound fancy. You know what I'm saying?
You need to have a disease that doesn't harm you for which you can sell them a supplement that doesn't harm you. And you can also make a fortune like methylated vitamins, but buy my $600 test. Now you're in my system.
And the fat burning, like cold plunges burn more fat calories than anything else.
Strips off the fat from your body.
Stuff. And here's a $7,000 tub. Like, that's amazing. It's so good. Like, listen, I know Gary, he's terrible. Like, listen, I get it. He's terrible, but he's doing it so well. Like, he's grifting so well. He's so good at it. He's got the stage presence. He gets up there and he's like, yeah, there's five things the government's never told you. And this is what everyone does wrong. And I'm here to save you. It's so good. Like, it's
he
as
puts
a show.
The confidence
it's so
and
good.
Confidence, man.
He he's does. It's like, I'm going to show you three things that a endocrinologist will never show. Oh, this ought to be interesting.
Oh,
you,
that's so
you have
good.
You have a master's degree from a chiropractic school, and you don't think endocrinologists who have done all of this other work know what you're about to tell the audience, which they don't, you know. And everybody wants to know what the doctors don't know.
I love it. Like, yes.
See,
it's
what would we go? You should eat more.
Things,
but... You should eat more legumes. We're just not going to do it on stage, guys. We got to figure this out.
No, I know we don't have that. We need to get up and be like, everything that you know.
Oh, Barbara
is true.
O'Neill, that's another one. If you're in front of a whiteboard, Barbara O'Neill. This is you just take cayenne pepper. Cayenne pepper will fix your arteries.
Heart attack, cayenne pepper.
Cayenne pepper. It's been
unflavored
proven.
Unflavored food, cayenne pepper.
Oh, and if you magnesium is a water, whatever, and you put it on your tongue and it'll cure your hypertension and rehydrate.
A single
you.
Gram on
right.
your tongue.
Oh, it's so good. Like they have it, you know, there's these people that are just made, they're born to be grifters. And I know again that they're doing terrible things, but there's a part of me that enjoys them. Like, you have figured it out, sir. You are taking a simple thing that everyone hates and is trying to solve. And you have made something that doesn't help at all, but that doesn't matter. You have made people believe that this thing is all they need. And
they
you've done
are
it. You've
the
sold
Billy
it so
Grahams
well.
Of our age.
It's so good.
They are the evangelical preachers, the Gary Popoffs, the Benny Hinn's, the people who you are cured. Throw away your.
Yes.
They have done. They are. You're right. They are so good at what they do.
They're so good at it. There's people trying to grift every day, but there's only those select few that are the upper echelon that know how to do it right in order to become millionaires. And you know what? Like, again, they're terrible, but I have to give them like a little bit of the
golf
clap.
Take Liver
they
King.
Make proper
I mean,
tinctures.
I mean, even though Liver King has been totally shown to, you know, he everything came out and he said, "Oh, I'm sorry, but now I'm natural." as fuck. And it's like, oh, sure. Oh. Can I say that word? Sure you are.
It's so good. Yeah. It's a show. It's all a show. But it's I do enjoy it. I do enjoy, like, it's just, like, it's fun.
I've had people come to me and say, well, you don't look very healthy, and I'm going to take Paul Saldino over you. And it's like, okay, you're right. Sure. I'm also, like, twice his age and have better arteries than he does. But
it doesn't matter your educational background. It doesn't matter what you know. Look good. Have the stage presence. Be confident. Sell the solution to common problems. And you and if you have those things and you can do it well, you will be. I want to make a whole, like, TED Talks on how to be a grifter. I think I could be such a good one. I think I could get on stage and get people to believe damn near anything. It doesn't, whatever the highest profit margin is for whatever thing I want to sell, I could do this shit well.
The wellness way. The wellness way. You've seen them out there. They're always going after me. So there's like 100 wellness way chiropractors. They have franchised the wellness way. The guy who's in charge of it was the guy who's a very much anti-vaxxer, anti-masker. He said during the height of COVID, if you see anybody with a mask on, mace them. So now he has this huge line of supplements. They get these cute little scrubs. Wellness way, they come on a lot and say, oh yeah, yeah, we just get a stool sample, it's all in your gut, your eczema is all in your gut. It's like, it's a skin barrier problem, it's not in the gut, it has to do with toll receptors in the skin, blah blah blah, but they don't want it's proven it's in the gut, and these doctors don't know anything. Your thought,
but again, it comes back to, like, what's new and in. The gut health is big right now. And you have to pick, and you also have to pick something that is not very well understood. Like the whole, like, gut microbiome.
Leaky
we
gut.
Don't
it's
know
the
a
leaky
lot.
Gut. We all have.
So
leaky
gut. You come in and you just say, yes, it's all because of the gut. And people can't say, and to disprove that, you have to come on and say, okay, well, actually the gut, you know, microbiome, not really understood. We're doing a lot of research. There's new things. No, that's boring as shit. No one wants that. What they want is a strong man to come and be like, it's all the gut. And all you need is, we need your poop, and send it to me.
For $499, we will evaluate your poop.
It's so good. It's so good.
We've got to figure out what can we. I can't sell turnips. I mean, for God's sake.
No. What am
Eat
I going to
these Brussels sprouts.
Bullshit. Get out of here. No, I want the guy that's yelling at me about methylation. I don't know what that is, but it sounds fancy. He's the human biologist. Tell me about the thing I don't know.
It's a genetic test. If there's one genetic test you need.
And genetics have genes in them, doctor.
Right.
Genes are important.
Right.
We need genes to do things.
I know. My wife says you should buy jeans with holes in them, though. So I'm not sure.
And I want you to tell me I'm different than everyone else. If you tell me I'm different from everyone else.
And we're going to get you away from Big Pharma, because Big Pharma is evil.
I hate Big Pharma. Big Pharma's trying to get me.
Right. And actually they are. They're kind of gougy, awful people, quite frankly. You know, I mean, my God, what are they charging now for the GLP-1s? $1,300 a month. And it's like, I mean, they're just awful, awful people. But they've taken the EpiPen from. So I used to do these kids camps. I used to be the doctor at a kids camp because it was sort of a fun thing to do in Arizona. And I would buy these EpiPens to go up there, and they were like $35 to $50 each. And they buy them out because you never know if kids are going to have a reaction. Now they're like $700 for a damn EpiPen.
Oh,
yeah. You know? Now I just let the kids die. It's far better. Cheaper, you know. I mean, forks are cheap. EpiPens are expensive. I mean, come on. Remember acai berries were the other thing. Remember that? They had the whole multi-level marketing with acai berries. Oh, they're the best. They're an egg. Buy Mona V. I mean, they finally all got busted and taken down, but it was like, blueberries are better than acai berries for antioxidants, but that's not as sexy as this rare berry. We have to find do jackfruit or something.
The superfoods, it's all, you know, and they grind it into powder, and you can sell it as a in a
and
box.
You don't even have to have that much in it. It could all be lactose in there. It could all be, you know.
But you know what? Like at a certain level, I do appreciate the good grift and the work that goes into it. You know, it's impressive if nothing else.
It's all, the other one that I like now that I'm seeing him is another chiropractor, Pompey or something like that. Anyway, he draws a circle. This is a cell, and thyroid has to get into the cell. And then he writes a scribble around here. This is inflammation. All the toxins cause inflammation. Thyroid can't get the cell. I'm thinking, it's not how cell biology works.
But props to you
for doing this.
So you like, you know, the feel good system. Like I see them all the time with like cubes and whatnot and all these things.
One sugar cube is all you have.
Exactly. Like, and here's your insulin and they go up.
in the time
and
yeah.
down.
Right.
And people in the comments are always just like, but they're always just like, I'm a visual learner. Thank you. This helped me. I'm a visual learner. I need to see things. I'm like, oh God, that's, they got you. They got you.
$199 a month for Metamucil and Yerba Mate tea. It's brilliant. You have to admit it's brilliant.
It really is.
It is.
And they have the whole backstory. Do you remember what happened to Rexall drugs? Oh, I remember Rexall drugs. What happened? Oh, and it's in the PDR. You know, the PDR is bought and paid for by anybody that can put anything in it, but that's, we could put something in the PDR. We could put beets in the PDR.
Oh,
let's do it.
We missed our chance.
We could.
We got that.
We already started
gene.
Off on the evidence based. It was all wrong. We made the bad decision.
But seriously, if I were to do anything, it would be like, why don't I sell olive oil? If I can find a great olive oil, the problem is it's way too much work and I can't do it. I just have to do
that. That sounds like a lot of work. I'd rather just sell pills with mostly maltodextrin in it.
Yeah, that would be good. And it'll fix. We need to find something that will fix leaky gut, which, you know, when humans have it, they call me and I take out their gut. But that's the separate story.
I say we just, no, let's keep it simple, guys. Prop blend, lion's mane, you know, like whatever. Put a
make
bunch
sure
of,
underdose
as many
it.
Things.
And we got to make a gummy out of it. You got to make a gummy out of it. People
we'll have
love
a gummy
gummies.
Version. We'll have a pill version. You know, it's
a shake version. Got to have a shake.
1 milligram of each thing. 1 milligram. So we can just say we have 5,000 milligrams and 5,000 things in them. And it's going to be.
And
great.
On the high level, you have the AG1. Remember the AG1 green powder stuff?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a little
and say
higher
that
level.
It's third-party tested, but don't link to any third-party testing.
No, we can test it.
That's
I'll
too
test
expensive.
It. I'll get it tested. Look at this. It's pure, you know?
Yeah.
No seed oils
put
allowed.
Put it through a urine test.
All right, guys. Well, that was the last episode of In Moderation. We'll be changing our name next week. I don't know what it is, but
we're calling ourselves the Grifter Threesome, and we are going to sell you the cure for everything that ails you. You're having trouble with your husband, wife, spouse, whatever. It's
Doesn't
all
matter.
In your gut.
It's all in your gut. And it's all in the pill is the solution. And we'll have that. Don't worry. Gummies will be soon. It'll be pills first. We'll get a gummy later. Don't worry about it.
And we have this ancient tea from Tibet that nobody knows about, but it's been an Eastern medicine for years and cures everything because, you know, they don't get cancer in Tibet.
We're kind of losing. Dr. Terry, we're losing you.
That's all right. I've been lost for a long time.
I think. Uh-oh, we're losing the video too. I think maybe at the end here we should have Dr. Terry tell us where to find him so we don't, before we completely lose him. Dr. Terry, where do we find you?
You can find me on TikTok.
TikTok. And TerrySimpson.com.
Yeah. All right, guys, it's been fun. We just need to get on Gary Brecka's bandwagon and we'll be fine. He'll hire us, I'm sure.
We'll get a new name. It'll all be good. We got this. See you
later,
everyone.
Liam for the pretty face that we can put up on a pedestal somewhere.
Right.
Oh, I got the confidence, too. You guys don't even know what's going to be sold to you. You literally don't know because I'm not going to even put it on the label. All right, guys. Let's all make some money. That's what we're on now.
Cha-ching.
Goodbye. Hey, wasn't that a great time? Listen to the podcast. You were just, I'm assuming you knew or you were just listening to In Moderation. So if you go ahead and hit the 5-star button, is that a thing? The like button?
That's a thing. No. Yeah.
The like button five on stars. YouTube. If you're on YouTube, hit the like button. Not the dislike button. That's a bad button. The
bad
like
button.
Bad
Don't
button.
Touch.
Hit all, Don't so hit you. All the other buttons. The share,
the
you can go check out
all those things.
Subscribe. Go check out our Patreon. Yeah. We do have a Patreon. It's free to join if you want, or you could give us money. That'd be really cool. Like $1 or $2. It doesn't matter. Whatever you have. That's
super, where you'll find all the news for this.
We're super appreciative. You can find all sorts of other stuff there. We do giveaways, I think, sometimes, you know.
Sometimes.
All that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So peace.